Practical Work on Self, our 16th session tonight with David Franco and Teresa Dietze. And tonight we will be talking about doorways and moving on into red-faced donkey. And tonight the people on the phone need to speak up loudly because we've had to use a different phone arrangement than we usually do. I would like to say that since we're working with the chapter on doorways and portals, this is the doorway portal issue that we're having tonight. And this is the first time that this has happened, and I think it's interesting that it's kind of forcing us to make a readjustment. It's almost as if we've gone through a doorway and a portal, and now we're having to use different portals to connect with one another, and I just find that a little bit interesting.
Yeah. So here we are. And so we are on chapter
15, and I'll read the header, Doorways. The practice of remembering ourselves, invoking our presences, having the continual presence of I, makes a vibration of being which gradually forms a relatively permanent crystallization called gradation of evolution. Does anybody have any experiences or exercises that they've worked with in terms of doorways over the last week? I know Mike Williamson left us a nice comment on the website about working with doorways, which I responded to. So there's a few in the website that you can look at some point that are nice. And then also, just as point of reference, Silverdale wrote a nice comment for everybody who's been wondering or can't quite remember what those three forces are. I know, Diana, you've asked about the three forces. So now there's a nice clear comment on the website describing those three forces and how they interact together. So I'd encourage everyone to go and read that. So Diana also, she has a comment here. First question on last week's discussion regarding death. Just learned I don't understand as much as I thought I knew. The non-phenomenal self was everlasting. Now it's not? Diana, I'm not sure how you've come to the idea that the non-phenomenal self is not everlasting, so I think I will duck and pass that question on to Silverdale since I know he's lurking with us here.
Well, I think we approached that a little bit. And if we read the first paragraph, it starts to tell us something about that. And it says that the presence of the non-phenomenal source of attention within the awakened machine, because negative emotion is absent in the awakened machine, and here's the deal, it produces the vibration which gradually forms itself into permanent crystallization that you call being. So it's called, it's creating it permanently. How do you create something permanently, it's called here. And then each stage of that transformation is called a gradation of evolution. So what we're talking about is taking the actual presence of the non-phenomenal self, and we all have a drop of that. We have a drop of that eternality. The question is what to do with it. Does it become just a reminder that is there? Or does it become something that becomes a more dominant and, in fact, permanent, in a sense, way of life? How do you move from where we are now? And everybody that's here, everybody that's in this class has the beginnings of that, or you wouldn't be here. You just simply, we wouldn't be here together. But how do you take it to the next level? It needs to become the dominant force within your nature, rather than the machine or the human biological machine in its present state is pretty much, it is the dominant, period. So how do you shift that from one to the next? And that's part of what this practice in this chapter, I think, helps us. Diana, does that help at all? I mean, in a sense, the non-phenomenal self is permanent, but it's not developed, and it's not dominant.
Diana's saying, I thought if we don't develop it, it dies too. And she was thinking that both of them die. Perhaps this has to do with what we were talking about last week about the different ages, that if it wasn't developed during certain ages, then it didn't develop. But that's different than dying. So I believe that's our point of clarification.
Yeah, well, here we are. Here we are. We find ourselves as we are in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever age we are, here we are today. And what can you do today to take the process to another level? Can you do something with it? Can you click it forward just a little bit on the scale of evolution? Is there something you can do that? And that's the hope that's offered here in this chapter. On page 128, it says, even the non-phenomenal source of attention eventually dies if it has existed without transformation. But the being, which has become permanent, crystallization, can never die. So we're carrying like a little spot of eternality, a little spot of the eternal, a little spot of the absolute, of the creator, whatever we want to call it. And if we do something with it, there's a chance for it to stay alive.
So that's what Diana was asking about, and I'd like to know what that looks like in an individual or in ourselves if the non-phenomenal self eventually dies through lack of transformation.
Those people aren't in this class. It becomes a corpse, a walking corpse.
The night of the living dead deal, yeah?
Yeah, it's like the night of the living dead, and very likely that's what that early literature was supposed pointing to, that there's nothing there but the corpse walking around. And we'll even address that slightly in the next chapter.
I was going to say that myself.
So the point is that you are here. This is not a theoretical class. This is not a class that's meant to be theoretical. We are actually here right now. And what we're talking about is working together to help us as in a group form to aid each of us individually to go out each day, each week, each moment, and work with the idea of awakening the machine. Those are the first levels of work we can do. This particular exercise has many levels to it. Believe me, as you go from one segment of growth to the next, in a sense, it repeats itself.
What repeats itself?
The cycle of work, the kind of work you're doing with different types of work bodies that you create. But right now, we don't need to define it. We can work as we are. Look at on page 129. Although we may not understand exactly how this may be true, Stepping through a doorway is to taste death in some form. When passing the threshold of a portal, as we did this evening, we can use this as a reminding factor to exert our will to awaken the machine. That's all it's saying. It's not trying to create a philosophy. It's not trying to create the end point of understanding this knowledge. It is trying, however, to give us a way to start from where we're at. And that in itself is a good gift.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah, but
sure.
Ask it loudly.
Excuse me. Could you give me a tactile experience that would describe what you're saying?
Which particular part? I've been rambling for a little while here.
Well, this whole thing around, it's hard to even pin down because it feels like, but the whole thing around the transformation that you're talking about.
I'll give you an exact example, Leona, and I'm going to be pretty direct to everybody here. It's real simple stuff, but it's hard work. It's so simple. It's too simple for the normal mind, okay? All we're talking about is the next time you walk through a door to remember yourself and awaken the machine. And if you actually can do that, actually walk to a door, and the next time you walk to the next door, actually remember yourself for the sake of your essential self, not for yourself, not so that you're a better person in the world and you can make more money, but because you owe it to your essential self to keep it alive, because that's the gift that you were given, and that's part of what we were talking about in remorse of conscience. You were handed a gift of great value. These are great pearls that were given to us. I know that I have an essential self, and it's frightening to have to hold that gift in my hand. And but boy, what an honor it is to do a little work with it. So next time, can you remember? Is it worth it enough to you to walk through that door and recall and awaken the machine in the way we've been talking about? And then take it to another level so that you, not only that, you see yourself moving from one space to another space, and you watch the moment of transit. At that point, these are not things that the sleeping human biological machine does, but rather they are things that the essential self just, that's where it lives. It lives and it blossoms.
Okay, so we have a few comments. Townsy girl, I noticed a few things about portals. The first was I would go dang when I walked through a door and forgot to pay attention.
Okay, let me make a comment on that. That's a good, excellent starting point, okay, because I remember, and Pathway, I don't know, is Pathworld there?
Not sure. I'm having trouble juggling everything at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Years ago, I did a class in Riverside on practical work on self. I only had 5 hours, and one of the chapters I selected was doorways. And one of the things we did in the live class was literally stand up and walk through a couple of doorways. I saw her a couple of months later, and she says, geez, I just forgot to do it. I keep forgetting. And as long as you keep forgetting that you've forgotten, it's something still alive there. There's some inner compass that just, you know, is alive. So embrace that feeling that you have, Townsy girl, about, gosh, I forgot. So it's not necessarily, you don't get off that it's a failure. You get off that something's blipping alive there. So good one.
Yes, definitely. And for pause, I would remember any other time but when I was going through a door. I got that too.
Oh.
Then Townsy girl, then I noticed when I did pay attention, I could feel temperature change, and once or twice I felt a distinct change in how I felt. I suddenly felt bigger, kind of like Alice walking through the looking glass.
you were bigger, you in fact were bigger. That you, there's, this is not, I'm not trying to talk metaphorically or poetically or anything. You in fact were a bigger being at that moment. And the temperature change is a very, very good indicator that you've moved into a different space. It's one element of traveling and the transit and moving from transit space to transit space. One of the things that I don't think we'll be doing it in this book, but it's the idea of that moment of transit and noticing the transit between spaces. It's a thing of, it's quite remarkable.
I've met a lot of people who experience that hiking when we have, when we're changing altitude and we're getting into less populated areas, there'll be almost like a little pop or a temperature change, and there's a totally different feeling sense in that part of the land than there was a few feet back, and it's just almost like passing through a gateway.
Part of that is that those individuals are so used to getting feedback from the external mechanical world that I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm alive, things are okay, I'm safe, and suddenly that drifts away and that mechanism in the machine isn't at work, and so they literally become more alive. It's not necessarily just because a pine tree is beautiful, though a pine tree is beautiful.
And then Townsy, then Forepaw said, "Thank you, Pearl Giver." And Diana said, "Found some behavior in my historical self last week we did not like. More conscious this week, exercise more self-care in presence of family." Sinhog, Diana, what is HS? That would be historical self. And then Townsy Girl, "I could feel the different textures of the floors and see what was in front of me," which is great. And then Pathworld, "Yes, I remember." And then Townsy Girl said, "That whole thing is weird." And Sama said, "I only remembered for one half day, so to say, now I die as I pass through.
Yes.
Most days completely forgot, but a few days I noticed I forgot." And Sama, "Yes, me too, RC."
Okay, so what are we doing here? What's occurring when we suddenly we kind of notice that we forgot? What is it that we're noticing? We're noticing in part that the effort at awakening the machine was missing. We missed it. Something in us missed it. We kind of, it was a friend. This particular exercise was one that was, for some reason, became important to me several years ago when I started working with this material. I found it as a available portal for myself. And walking through a doorway almost became for me like as if I was walking through a membrane from one space to another. And there was actually a moment of excitement as I would approach a door. Even if it was between two rooms that I lived in, I knew exactly it was there. I was almost excited to find out, what am I going to find on the other side? And you wind, it puts you in a different position. Gradually, this phrase about this moment of death started to become almost tangible, almost like it was like it was in my hand. I could touch it, but it wasn't a fearful moment of death. And we look at that last, second to the last paragraph, passing a portal, even in the form of an ordinary door, even in that, there are other portals, is like a moment of death, the passing of the portal for which we prepare ourselves all our lives. We practice, this is an important sentence, we practice the awakening of the machine during these little deaths so that our passing when the chains of life are thrown off and we feel our life slipping away, we will have presence. We have attention, presence, being, and an unshakable work habit. What is, and I throw this open to the class, what is meant? What is our author telling us here? What is meant by an unshakable work habit?
Let me catch up on the comments that were in the last comment string while people are commenting on that or before we speak about that. Then Susan Devetsky said, yes, I too felt a difference when I remembered. I felt tingles. And Sama said, I did remember it while in the office, and I noticed my presence and attention was stronger. And
good.
Then Townsend Girl said, I remember the tingles kind of too. Neat.
Yes.
And then Diana, never knew death was such an opportunity for growth.
Well put.
And Happy Mist, attention starts to become a habit of awakeness.
Ah.
Nice.
That's an interesting phrase.
Attention starts to become a habit of awakeness.
Unshakable work habit. Not a work habit that we can kind of remember, that to, you know, we can grab every once in a while, but an unshakable work habit.
A habit. So it becomes ingrained, and it I think of a habit as something rather than something that I have to remember, but something that remembers me.
But it's an unshakable work habit. So it's something, work habits have to be intentionally created. They aren't habits that come about because we were just raised that way and that's the way our family does stuff.
No, that's mechanical. When we have a habit that we've established through work, the habit helps us to remember ourselves, and then the habit is remembering us rather than having to remember to do that work. And I think that is what it's like when it's unshakable. A few more comments. Happy Mist, attention starts, okay, four pause, nice, and the habit becomes a part of the non-phenomenal being. Sinhog becomes crystallized in your bones. Townsley Girl, so the point is we still almost always be aware of the transition and to transition, so we work on the transition of death.
Yes. Yeah. If you keep doing this, like I said, there's a sense of surprise in a certain way, because as voyagers and work attendees, in a sense, we don't know what we're going to find in the next room. If we're always looking to the next room with our same tired mechanical eyes, guess what we're going to find? We're going to find the same thing we've always found, right? But what if our eyes are unsheathed for the moment and we walk through and suddenly we see something, maybe a book, a poem, a flower that suddenly grabs a different type of attention and it leads to a different kind of work that we're supposed to do.
Oh, and Sama, being able to hold presence and attention as an unshakable habit that I cannot be distracted from.
You said that?
Sama.
Sama.
And there's more comments, so hold on for a second.
Yeah,
there's a few irrelevancies.
We're not able to get him on the phone line tonight. Tell him, please.
Oh, okay. Pardon me?
Okay. We're talking. There's somebody called Science Guy, I think.
Yeah.
And we're just telling him that we don't have the capacity to include him on the phone call tonight. But if he goes to positive energy.
Positive
tool,
energy guide.
Guide.
PositiveEnergyGuide.com/PWOS for practical work on self, and all you have to do is scroll up on the dialogue box on Justin TV, and that website is already listed there.
And then if you can sign in, and you'll get an email that tells you how to call in to the proper conference line, which for this evening, that line is down.
Right, sign in on the website to be on our mailing list exclusively for practical work on self.
Yeah. Science Guy, can you hear the audio of what's going on right now?
He said okay.
Good. So during the
yes,
next...
Yes, sir.
If you go in, yes, okay. So if you go in and you sign up and become and sign up to the Practical Work on Site website, you'll get an informative email that will help you and help all of us. So thanks for asking.
Any other comments or questions on this doorways topic?
Yeah, I have another comment, is that this really is beginning work for us, okay, as this kind of the way that I have brought it up. It's beginning work to reflect on ourselves and see ourselves moving through these portals. It takes a lot of work to bring it to the level and to bring the attention to a level of a form of an unworkable, of unshakable work habit. We can do it. It is possible. But give yourself the time to do it, but also, in a certain way, insist on it. If that makes sense.
Oh, I have a question for you, David.
Yeah.
Could you say something about, I think there's a parallel between doorways and the invocation of presence. If I'm not mistaken, I know nothing about this cognitively, but intuitively I sense that moving
good
into an invocation, what you call an invocation, which I believe is a state of heightened presence between one or more people, or two or more people, one or more people. And in that state of heightened presence, we pass out of the frequency, consciousness frequency, vibrational frequency of the interaction that we're normally in or normally doing. And then all of a sudden, the texture of the room is different, and the texture of the feeling of the interaction is different. This happens a lot in healing sessions, where we'll be in one frame of feeling and experience, and then because of something that we've pulled in through our attention, something we've invoked, then suddenly we find ourselves in a different mode with one another. And I would liken that to passing through a portal or a doorway. And I just thought I'd run that by you and see what you thought.
Okay, and I know that there are a couple of questions too. But let me address... Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. Right now, I'd like to address the question that was posed by Teresa. The answer is yes. The question has to do with sometimes she was indicating that it seems like the portal exercise has something to do with the invocation of presence and the sense of invocation as it might occur. Well, as we practice the simple exercise, which is right before us, just when you walk through any dumb door, use that as a great reminding factor to awaken yourself. You gradually get a sense of moving between spaces. As you understand or get, you feel it in your bones, so to speak, the moving between spaces, you get a sense of the moment of transit. All right? when you start getting a sense of the moment of transit, you have a feeling for when and the beginnings of an invocation might be occurring, and you suddenly, you perk up to it. If your attention is attuned to such a thing, there have been times when, you know, we've been in dinners or discussions or just sitting around the table, and something will fundamentally change in the space. And I'll look around and I'll notice that one or two other people will get it. Boom. They sensed it. They sensed that occurred. And they could say, oh, something occurred there. And so the practice that is before us has many levels on the spiral. Okay?
Okay.
And so what was the next question?
Next question is, Townsy girl, so try for unshakable habits, but know that it's not instantaneous.
Correct.
And then Sama, question, how does David see or interpret unshakable work habit? And then Diana Hester, how does yearning tie into moving through the doorway? Is the yearning painful? Does it help move you through the doorway? And my comment on that was, try it and find out.
Good question, though, Diana. It's the if you could sense a little bit about where that question in you is coming from and sit with that for a while, that might help you on your next passage through the next doorway.
That's a much more elaborate way of saying try it and find out, with a little bit of good advice thrown in.
Back to Sama. Can you repeat her question, please?
Certainly. How does David see or interpret unshakable work habit?
I see it as something that is fundamental to one's operations, the way you operate on the planet at the moment. There's part of you that, for instance, won't go down certain blind alleys because it's just the wrong way to go. There's that great story, and I think it's the Castaneda's a separate reality. And he thinks he has Don Juan cornered, and he says, look, there's no way you could survive if there was some guy with a super high-powered rifle at the end of a long valley. You couldn't even see him. And it's telescopic, the scope on the thing, he could pick you off in 1 second. So you'd walk in, and he could just, boom, you're dead. Don Juan's answer, he says, oh, I would just have never gone in that valley. So for him, that was an unshakable work habit. How did he get to that unshakable work habit? Believe me, there were a lot of valleys he walked into where he stubbed his toe and he knew it was the wrong path. But he began to know it was the wrong path because he exercised the discernment within his being as to what to do. So for me, there are a number of things that come to bear, and some of them happen to do with certain muscles that tense up, and when that occurs, it's like flipping a switch and saying, hey, what's that? So, and I've seen it happen so many times now that it becomes, it's a part of how I operate. It's a part of what occurs. For instance, you know, I'm almost always nervous when I come to this class because a stupid, persistent, conceivably small but persistent disease that I have shows up, and I get nervous, and I'm nervous. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Do I have anything to say? And you know what? So what? That doesn't mean that it's gone away, or am I even concerned about it going away? But I know not to go down that path. So I guarantee you, Sama, because I know a teeny bit about the work you've done, if you were taken out of the environment that you are in commonly, you would notice certain work habits that you have already created in yourself. They're not necessarily unshakable yet, but they are work habits, okay? And those is what you build on. You build on what the mood says, what your heart kind of is attracted to, and you know is working in you. Somebody who's a good carpenter, you don't ask them to do the mathematics of change. They're a good carpenter. That's what they do. Okay,
we have another comment string coming from Diana. How does the yearning tie into moving through a doorway? Is the yearning painful? Does it help move you through the doorway? And then she said, in times of great pain, I hear myself say, I want to go home. I will sit with it. And then Townsy Girl, so you yearn to remember to pay attention to the portal, maybe? And then Diana said, that's what I'm wondering. And then Townsy Girl, oh, I do that too. And then I wonder where home is. Diana, oh my God, me too. And Townsy Girl, wow, that's cool. I'm not the only one who feels all of that. Confusing, yes. And then I said, a lot of people do. And Diana said, good to hear. Townsy Girl, I have never heard anyone say so, but good to know. What disease does David have? And Sinhog said, stage fright. And then Happy yeah. Miss, David, thank you for taking this path for us. And Sama, thanks.
I think that's important. You know, I did take this path. I don't know why I'm here. I mean, choosing other paths. But let's address the yearning thing a little bit because it's a good question. It's a really good question. Like, you get to a point where yearning is a touchy subject. It has to be unsentimental, though. And if you can stand in the place where it's not a sentimental thing, then there's a certain purity to it, as you had in your post on the practical work on self, on the consciousness, on the... what was the chapter? Chapter on conscience.
Who had?
What was the name of the chapter?
Remorse of conscience.
Remorse of chapter. Thank you.
Townsend Girl wants to know what you mean by sentimental.
Hang on a second. So in that, Diana made a post on the chapter regarding remorse of conscience. And in that, she talked about clarity and the idea of sainthood. Sentimental is a form of yearning or emotion that would come from the mechanical self versus the yearning, in a sense, that comes from the essential self to be reunited in a certain way. We're talking about huge gaps of distance here in our work, but we can feel what that yearning's like. We can have a little bit of a taste of it, and that's the meal that we should work to eat. I'll try to bring a quote, if I can remember, next time from Spinoza that addresses that idea of yearning.
You're talking about eating yearning as a meal. When you eat it, do you
yes.
get hungrier and hungrier?
I wouldn't say you get hungrier and hungrier, but you get more focused on it. maybe is a better way of putting it. I'm not quite sure.
There's a lot we could say about that. Let's come back to it. I want to catch comments up again. Happiness. I often feel a vague, unspecified yearning. Sama. We're talking about, oh no, she's talking to someone else. Townsy girl. SG is the evolution of the essential self or spiritual self. Oh, that's Science Guy. It is the, they're talking to Science Guy. Mike Williamson, conscious evolution or organic evolution. This concerns conscious evolution.
Yes.
Townsy girl, I think I'm still confused on the sentimental part. The sentimental part and the yearning part are something that could definitely be explored more. And Diana, agree, D, more please on sentiment.
Well,
sentiment is a reaction. Sentiment is coming from a collection of reactive emotions that are kind of an accretion that have come about from our history and what we make things mean to ourselves based on our identifications with things and what we think that we should have and what we think that we need based on our identity and based on who we'd like to be. For instance, maybe we want to be a good person or a nice person, and we develop sentiment and do like sentimental type cards and things like that because we want to be gooey. And although it's not always gooey, but a lot of times it is. And yearning is a keener feeling. Yearning is a feeling that can have some edge. It could be about the spiritual sense of wanting to belong to the greater whole. It could be even related to the kind of disappointment or the kind of disillusionment that make us unsatisfied with daily life. Like, is there more? Is this all there is? Is there something more that I can be or feel or touch or become that make me into all that a human being can be and make my life worthwhile rather than just living out from a mechanical place and doing the same old, and being happy with your family and your dog. Townsend Girl says, I like gooey. And Sama said, is the yearning more like a compelling need, desire, that it may even be irritating as opposed to yearning as a lust for results? And then,
yeah, there would not be a lust for results.
Right, and it can be very irritating. On some junctures of the spiritual path, people can even go mad with the longing to become united with the divine beloved or to be go into unity with that which is. Townsend,
we're okay. About ready to go into tape change.
Okay, so Townsy girl, so that the cleaner feeling we kind of get, I think, when we're in when we touch on the essential self and move forward. Yes.
Yes.
Ginger Roberts said just fine. Is that about the tape? Mike Williams, it definitely has a still point of trust. And I'd love to hear more about that still point of trust, but since we're talking about it, let's go ahead and change the tape and then come back to that topic shortly.
Okay.
Now it's going to take me a minute because I've got a difficult setup tonight.